Welcome to the Just Be Real Sis podcast. I'm Dr. Angela.
And I'm Candace.
We believe that women can win together.
We live boldly.
We live authentically.
We live unapologetically.
And we encourage you to do the same.
We understand the need for real conversations with diverse perspectives because we are more alike than we are different.
We know that inclusion and honesty are our superpowers.
The only requirement to join us,
Just Be Real Sis.
Welcome back to Just Be Real Sis. You guys may notice that we are recording from two different locations. Hey sis, hey Kelsey. Are you laughing, Kelsey? Like, already we just started.
Right? This is so different. We're not in the same location.
No, but listen, the show must go on, right? So we are dedicating ourselves to continuing to record episodes for you all, even though we have to do it in a different way because of the circumstances. We still have to get the information to our listeners. So today is going to be a very special episode, one that Sister and I really decided to do after having a series of conversations with some young ladies that are in our lives. And what we discovered is that the conversations that we often believe are important to have with our girls and teens are not always the things that are on their minds. So we thought, who better to ask than one of the teens in our life. So that leads us to who our guest is for today. And sister, I'll let you introduce our very special guest, even though she's laughing right now. Get it out, Kelsey.
Oh my goodness. Get it out. Laugh. That's
different.
Right. That's why we created this space. So I'm so excited to introduce our special guest. You guys have heard me say so many times that I had three babies in one day. Well, I have one of my babies here with me, one of the triplets. Say hello.
Hi.
Kelsey brings so many different things that she's going to really share with us today on the life of a teenager. So I think this episode is one that you guys really want to tune into, really listen, take some notes, because this conversation is going to get real. She understands that that's a requirement on this podcast, and she said, I'm open to it. So I wanted to tell you guys a little bit about Kelsey and why we decided to choose her. One, we will be able to really get some valuable information that we rarely hear. Now, with everything that's going on in the world, we maybe just, I guess, sister, we lucked up because she's willing to do it. And she's open to it.
So.
She's in the house with me, so she doesn't have any, you know, it's like, let's record. But a couple of things about Kelsey that I want you guys to know. She's a leader. She's a leader in our community. She has facilitated many podcasts. So as we record our podcast episode, she will go to school and host the same type of discussions at the high school level. She's a scholar. She'd recently scored the second highest here on the national Latin exam. Yes, Latin is her favorite school subject, so congratulations there. You. She's also an athlete. I've seen Kelsey earn the title of MVP for volleyball, but also I've seen her earn most improved player as she has sat back and really cheered on her teammates in basketball. She loves to serve in the community. She's also attended both public and private schools, so she's been able to really provide insight on what that looks like from a peer-to-peer conversation. And then lastly, a fun fact about Kelsey is she loves to swim in her spare time, winter and summer. We'll do some indoor swimming. And she loves to listen to jazz. Jazz is her favorite music when she's doing her homework. So that's a little bit about Kelsey, sister. As you know her well, and we love her. We want to say thank you. Thank you for being a guest today. Thank you for being open. I think so many people need to hear from you.
We're so glad you're here, Kelsey. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So sister, I think that, you know, what we really want to touch on here is the variety of topics of what we have talked about. These are things that we think are important as parents, and I would love to see if these same things are just as equally as important to Kelsey. And again, she's not claiming to speak on behalf of all teenage girls. She's only given us, you know, her viewpoints and some of her friends. But I think we should go ahead and get started. You go with that?
Yeah.
Okay. So the first one, sister, I'll kick us off. Okay. So the first one, Kelsey, is appearance. I know for me, that's something that's super important. I put on lipstick today. I made sure my hair was done. You know, I got up and I'm you know, every time you turn around, I'm looking in a mirror to see, hey, okay, am I good? Am I good? But I don't really think what kind of message that sends to young girls. And talk to us a little bit about appearance. How important is appearance, especially in the day of social media? There's a constant comparison. There's this pressure of being model perfect. Talk to us about what you feel about appearances.
I feel like when you live in a world that's almost everything but technology, it's kind of hard not to compare yourself to other people. I feel like when us as a society is pinned on what beauty standards are and what beauty is and what beauty should look like, it sends us into a state of mind of, am I fitting in or do I look good enough?
So do you have any questions around appearances?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I just want to comment on that. I think you raised some important issues, Kelsey, because I think for our girls, a lot of times they look outside of themselves to really solidify what they feel is beautiful. And I think our goal as parents is to try to maybe shift that mindset a little bit and really emphasize the importance of searching for your beauty from the inside out. Because the standard of beauty outside changes so much. And a lot of times the things that are put in front of us don't necessarily match who we are. Do you think that among your group of friends that sometimes it's difficult to still think of yourself as attractive or beautiful when you don't always see images in front of you that look like you?
I think that, and I agree with that. And I mean, you can have diverse friend groups who look totally different from you, but it's hard to have that security of I'm beautiful when everyone around you, including your friends, are wondering how they look. And 24/7, they're asking you and they're asking validation from you. Am I pretty enough or do I look good or does this look good on me?
And so when I say you're beautiful, you tell me, well, you're my mom. That doesn't really count. So why is it that you feel that our opinions don't necessarily, I'm not going to say they don't matter, but why doesn't that resonate with you when you have other adults that will say, hey, I think you're beautiful?
Because I feel like when you know someone, it's kind of hard to be that person to be like, not straight up call them ugly, but kind of say, hey, there might be something wrong with you. Because right. Even my friends don't look good all the time, but they'll ask me like, does this look right on me or do I look okay? I'm not going to be the bearer of bad news and be like, no, you look terrible. No, but I feel like because when you have like a family member or a friend, like I said, they might not always tell you the truth and they might not always be straight up with you. So it kind of leaves you curious and it keeps you guessing. Like, are you just telling me that because we're cool or are you
trying to make you feel good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Kelsey, allow me to reintroduce you to your mother, the truth teller. If there's ever a situation where you ask her if something looks okay, she's going to tell you the truth. When she says that you're beautiful, that's true. I've told you that you're beautiful. I mean, I think it's important too that you have people outside of the house, like you said, that can give you those positive messages and encourage. Because clearly, as we talk to young girls, this is an issue. I'm reminded of the little girl. Remember, sister, we were talking about the baby who was 4 years old on the video who started to cry because she said that she was ugly and the lady was doing her hair. And she started to cry and she said the words, I'm ugly. She was only 4 years old. So Kelsey, what do you think it is that like young girls need from us as mothers, as aunts, as just people in the community that can help deal with some of the feelings that young people are having right now?
I feel like a lot of love should just go upon that person. I feel like people around them in their circle should exhibit, you don't have to look this way to feel beautiful or look beautiful. I tell my friends all the time who might not be as slim as other people, I tell them, hey, you weren't born a size zero, embrace that. And I feel like at a young age, you really want to be a confidence booster because you don't want their confidence to be like taken at a young age because it'll ruin them for almost a lifetime.
I like that, sister. We need to get a shirt confidence booster.
Yeah. Look, don't take it. Our idea. We're doing it, sister. Confidence booster. I love it. And we'll give you credit, Kelsey, for saying it.
And the last thing I would love to remind you, and we've talked about this before, but I'd love to remind you of the fact that I do feel beauty is from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And we have to make sure that we focus on that. You're a beautiful person. Just agreeing to do this podcast with your mother today. I mean, you do beautiful things in the world all the time. And so again, talking to some of your friends, is there anything else around the parents that we can do as adults? I love Confidence Booster, but is there anything else that we can do to remind you of the beautiful things that you do all the time? I think that's something, sister, that we can work on. You know, when I had the conversation, you said that's on us. Some of this dialogue, it's on us. So what can we do to remind you of all of the beautiful things that you've already done? You know, 15 years old, and I've read off, you know, so many things that you've already accomplished. What are some, you know, additional things that I can do to reinforce that message?
I feel like you can tell, like, you, like a one-on-one, like, say affirmations, even though your child may or may not like it, I would force that, because it'll totally be worth it. I remember me and you would do affirmations every morning, and I'd be like, ugh. But you know, but it sends me off to school with the message in the back of my mind that no matter what anyone says, I'm still me.
You're gonna be great today, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
So I feel like,
because you're a masterpiece, right?
Yeah.
Why is she laughing at you? No, that's so good, Kelsey, because what you're talking about speaks to like a bigger picture. We have to be mindful of the messaging that we give our girls, right? So you talk specifically about affirmations, but I think even outside of affirmations, the way that we talk to our daughters and girls is so important. And so, you know, we talk about speaking life into other people, sister, all the time. And I think this is a good example. And it's probably even more important because it's young people. And so we've got to make sure that foundation is set. And that's why I said it's on us. So we want to get better, which is why we're having this conversation. And we want to encourage our listeners to commit themselves to getting better as well, because we can't mess this up. We can't.
Agreed. So we'll take that. It's on
us. Kelsey, we're listening and we're taking detailed notes about what you're telling us and committing ourselves to doing the best job that we can. So you mentioned social media and you mentioned the pressure to be model perfect. I think we've kind of addressed that because you said that you had these conversations with your friends. I know another area for you that we've had conversations about is how you feel about education. And for someone who listens to jazz when they do their homework, clearly you've put some thought into this. So let's talk a little bit about your current experience with your education, and then we'll get into maybe some ways that we can improve in the area as well.
I feel like when it comes to a lot of students, they don't have the motivation that they need to thrive to get an education, because we all do need a high school diploma and we all need a degree for whatever we want to, you know, take part in. I feel like it's sad that during this pandemic, kids are celebrating that they don't have to go to school rather than itching to go back to school. And it just shows there's a problem in the school system and that it's unjust. It's unjustified. So, yeah.
So you said that kids are celebrating. What are they saying with these extended weeks out of school? What are some of the things that your friends are saying about that?
Hopefully we can get out longer. I just want to thank the coronavirus for the reason why we don't have to go to school. It's sad.
That is so tough. What do you think it is though, Kelsey? I mean, most kids will say they enjoy, you know, having breaks out of school, but why do you think it is? What do you think are some of the contributing factors why kids are not necessarily motivated or excited about going to school?
I feel like there's a lot of pressure on students to do good, and there's this message of, in order to be successful, in order to be intelligent, you have to have the highest grades on the factor, on the scale. I feel like a lot of kids don't thrive to do good just for that gratification for themselves. I feel like they think that intelligence only matters or is only present when you have A's and B's. In my opinion, intelligence doesn't, when it comes to grades, your grades don't define your intelligence. It defines your work ethic and your effort. It's really hard to want to have an education when you have teachers that don't care and don't aren't willing to teach you, and then they label you as ignorant or they label you as a delinquent, and then you're pushed back even further.
That's some hard truth. We told her she was going to give it to you guys. Sometimes it's not easy to hear the truth, but we need to, right? Like, sister, what are your thoughts around that? Because I know you've had several conversations with Kelsey around how important it is to be motivated by teachers and educators and to be inspired to learn.
Right. And so I've talked to several of her teachers as well. And she has a couple who they will text me on a regular basis to check on my children. They will go above and beyond to make sure that they're successful in the environment. But then you also have some, when Kelsey says, and I've said to her, hey, explore that when you say they don't care. You have some teachers, some educators that have been teaching for a very long time. And the unwillingness, I feel, to adjust to the change of times. I'm not saying that we put on a YouTube video and allow the children to learn from there, but just the engagement levels of the students. They will tune you out quickly. And so the children, because perception is reality, the children think that it's they don't care because you're not understanding what it takes for me to learn, because what it took for us to learn is not the same thing that it takes. They can get, you know, information instantly. So Kelsey, you know, she made a joke about one of her teachers. What is he using? A
overhead projector.
And she just thinks that's the worst thing in the world. To me, it's nothing. And she was like, and then the slides drop on the floor and he has to reach down and get him. He spends 30 minutes. She's like, who uses an overhead projector? So I think it's more along, you know, our educators do a great job. They do a phenomenal job. But I think it's more just adjusting, right? Being very agile and making learning fun for these students, even at the high school level. We go out of our way in elementary, and I remember a PTA president saying this years ago. She said, many of you are here today with your small children, and you're, you know, signing up for PTA, PTO. She said, but you really need to do it for your high school students. She said, that's when we don't see the parents anymore. So again, just being actively engaged and still making learning fun for them, I think is super important, because even for, you know, a science that Kelsey took last year, or Latin, as I mentioned, the number one reason Kelsey loves Latin is because of the teachers that she had, or all the teachers that she's had for that matter. They've made Latin fun. So that would be some of the feedback that I've been giving even to the teachers, because I'm like, listen, these children, they want to come to an environment where they are inspired.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that look like? And so I think having these types of conversations is important, because like you said, that's the real. We didn't tell her what to say. And right. We're hoping that we don't offend people, but that's her reality and many of her friends.
Right. And it's interesting that you say that. As we were getting ready for the show, I said, you know, you can't ask your kids what they think and then not be prepared to hear what it is that they say.
Exactly.
And it's not always going to be in terms that feel good or in the way that we want to hear it, but we still have to, because that's the only way we're going to be able to get to this place where we can do something about it. So my experience is a little bit different, because, you know, my oldest daughter is in middle school. And so the feedback that she provides for me, because every day I ask her, you know, how was your day? She'll say, middle school drama. And I said, what is middle school drama? And, you know, kids are kind of coming into their own. They're becoming more independent. But for her, the thing that is important at this point is controlling the other students or the climate of the classroom as far as discipline is concerned. She's very vigilant about her grades. And is a straight A student, but she finds herself having to really focus because of the other disciplinary issues that exist in the classroom. Does that happen for you as well, Kelsey?
Sometimes it can happen. It can get out of hand. It can get to the point where there's no more time for teaching. Now it's time for discipline.
Yeah.
And I think it depends on the teacher. You've shared with me before, some teachers have cubby holes to put your cell phones up and then other teachers don't. So it just depends on the climate of the classroom, on what the children can and cannot get away with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's put this out there, sister. We love teachers.
Absolutely.
Their job is super hard, and we understand that. The purpose of this conversation is really to for us, help us learn as parents how we can support our kids as well as the teachers, but also make sure this information is shared so we can all come together as a team and do what's best for our kids.
Right. And I think one of the asks that I had early on, working in corporate America, I put this challenge out here. I said, hey, if a woman shows up, assume that she's the CEO. I would just put the challenge out there. If a student shows up, assume that they want to learn. Kelsey mentioned don't label certain students as they don't want to learn. I think everyone wants to be successful. At least that's the hope, especially at this young age. So as they walk through the classrooms, just know that, you know, my child is one of them. She wants to be successful. She wants to learn. And so again, working together is super important. And then taking the feedback because it is valuable. So yeah, point taken.
Thank you, Kelsey.
We love teachers. We love teachers.
Yeah. Listen. I had a whole family of teachers. So
yeah.
I know how hard that job is. Very hard.
Very hard. I've been seeing the social media post around, now you guys are having to spend so much time with your children. Welcome to a teacher's world. So, yeah.
Exactly. So that's all valuable feedback, Kelsey. So thank you for giving us your honest opinion. Hopefully that will help some other young people express how they feel about their education and also open up the conversation with them and their parents, which is the whole point of this. So what was the next area that we wanted to talk about, Sister?
So this one will be really interesting. And again, keep it real. Boys and dating, the pressures around that. So I know for us, when I was your age, I wanted to get to the mall or to, you know, the skating rink to meet up or the movies and just have fun with my friends. And so I felt like I was a social butterfly early on, but it's just a different day and time. So do you mind just sharing with us the pressures or what does dating look like in this age for high school students?
It can start off of social media, any social media app. It can start in person. I feel like when it comes to dating, I feel like when it comes to dating, if your child ever comes to you and say, I like someone or I have feelings for someone or I'm talking to someone, I feel like you should really listen to them and be a friend for them. Don't turn into that parent that's like, don't talk to them. Don't shut them down and don't shut them out. Be aware, especially if it's a online relationship, be aware. But if it's something small, then I would just be there, be a friend, you know, get the gossip.
So that is one thing that you said to me. We were talking about this and Kelsey said to me, she said, you know, if I trust you enough to come and start the conversation, please let me and allow me to have it. You know, don't start, you know, asking questions or telling me about your experience. Allow me to really express how I feel. One of the things that I would like you to really explore more, you said that relationships happen. I saw Sister kind of clutch her chest, but you have more relationships not going to. So back to my teenage years when we were trying to get to the mall and different places. So you're telling me that relationships are just starting online. That's very popular, right? Can you talk a little bit more about that? And what are some of the places that teenagers are meeting up or what is it called? Hooking up, like linking up, whatever. Not hooking up, but what is it called? When you, it's not dating. What is it called?
There's not a specific term. I mean, you can call it sliding in the DMs, but
sliding in the DMs, sister. There it is. Okay.
It can start with a simple message, a simple, hey, hello, I think you're cute. And it can evolve into, hey, want to meet up. And I think there can be danger behind that because you typically never know who's actually behind the screen. And I feel like when it comes to dating, I would just keep, make sure you have your best interest because you never know. Because now
what do parents do though? How does the parent like allow? Because how do we monitor that?
There's no specific way to monitor it. Don't invade your child's privacy. I would just try to get a feel and kind of talk to them. Again, be a friend. Don't be that parent that just wants to take everything away from them because they're just gonna want to go behind your back. So I would just try to be there for them, but in the back of your mind, think about the dangers. Make sure you have their best interests.
So now she's advocating on behalf of teenagers, but can you tell parents and our listeners, and I think this is so important, sister, what are some ways that you guys can go behind our backs? Like, this is definitely the cheat code, but tell us. So if I take away your technology, then do you go to school and find a friend's device? Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Because you said if you start taking away things, that you'll find a way. And so then there's no trust.
There's plenty of ways. Now you can always go into a friend's phone if you know your login information. You can always go into a computer. When you know a password and a username, you can get pretty far on any technological device that's not yours. And I feel like you shouldn't want to take the phone away because you don't want them to go behind your back.
Because you will. Yeah. So did you hear that?
Listen, I'm over here just trying to stay in my seat because my daughter is 12 and I am like, what? So it's so different from when we were teenagers. And I think that's why we have to have these conversations, because the idea that our kids believe that a relationship can happen, you know, virtually.
Right.
That's a brand new space, right? That's not something we would have ever even thought or considered. And so there's this another layer of how we have to be open but also protective of our children, because to your point, Kelsey, you want to be open, but as parents, our first priority is to make sure that you are safe, and we don't want to have any sort of hurt or harm. So when you said you have to be careful because you don't know who's on the other end of that screen, that's the first thing that's going to pop in our heads. And so we want to know how we can be supportive, but also maintain our role as a parent and protect and keep you safe, right? So we understand that growing up, dating is going to come into the picture. And so we are trying to navigate this space just like you all are, because it's different for us. You know, we, like you were saying, sister, you met at the mall if you could, but it was always going to be, you know, can your parent drop you off or... So they were able to really kind of control outside of school you're coming and going. But now you can connect to each other at any point through your devices. So how can we support and be understanding but also protect? That's right. My question.
If you have a child that comes to you and you just outright feel like this isn't safe, then shut it down. But if your child comes to you and is, I'm talking to this boy and she has pictures and you even call them up and they answer, I think it's just, they're having fun and you should just let them talk and be themselves. A parent truly knows when their child is in danger. And if you really do feel like they're in danger, then of course, terminate it, make sure, get rid of it. But other than that, they're just having fun.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, it's really creating a safe space where you feel comfortable enough to come and talk to the parent. And then the parent at that point uses their discretion if it is a safe relationship or not.
Yes. If you feel like there's some red flags, then immediately get involved. If I come to you and I say, Mom, I'm talking to this boy and I've never seen him and I have one picture of him or no pictures of him and we're just doing nothing but talking and he asked me to meet him up at the movie theaters, then you should kind of be like,
wait
a minute.
Well, and you have told me that you've met some boys and that you talked to them. What's the first question I always ask you?
Yes.
What's cool?
What school? What do they look like? What school do they go to?
Because I quickly want to say, okay, well, do you know this person that goes to this school that can then identify this person if it's not your school? So, well, that's really good information, Kelsey. Any other questions, sister, do you think maybe on the minds of some of our parents, some of our listeners?
Well, it's just funny to me because my experience was so different. Like you said, what's the first question? What school did it go to? And I was just playing in my head my experience as a teenager, and I could hear my mom's voice in my head, like, you know, education is your boyfriend. Like that was a phrase.
My boyfriend, right?
I'm like, what? You know, it wasn't this open space. There wasn't this dialogue. There wasn't this openness to you exploring. It was, you know, all these parameters around it. And so now, trying to navigate the space in the digital and virtual age, it's going to be an adjustment. You know, it's going to be an adjustment. But we have to find ways to bridge these gaps, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So
that's what we're doing today. I think that's part of it, is what we're doing today.
Oh yeah. So I don't know if we were gonna have this conversation, but I mean, we did say we're keeping it real, so sisters, up to you. Think among your friends or just people that you talk to that there is this pressure to do things earlier than you're ready for as it pertains to intimacy and things like they are, because of society or what have you, forced to be more intimate earlier?
I have a friend that has a boyfriend, and he, you know, he's a little bit older than her, and when you kind of, when you date someone that's kind of older than you, they kind of want, it comes with an expectation of you want to give it up. And her boyfriend has never really pressured her into doing anything she didn't want to do. He makes sure she's comfortable, but in general, it can get scary.
Yeah, it's scary. Ooh. And sister mentioned the pressure. And again, Kelsey, this is honest dialogue. This is what we do. So, you know, it's real talk, and this is what's happening. And it's so important. Again, the reason we've decided to do this is because it's not done enough. It's just not done enough. Parents are, we live in these bubbles, and we're really not checking on our children the way I feel like we need to be. So my question then too, is the sharing of nudes. I know that's a big deal. The pressure to share, you know, a picture of yourself, which we've had this conversation, you know, that picture will be out there. It's in the cloud. It's out there forever. Do you see a lot of pressure around that? Send me a picture.
Yeah. Like it's crazy because you would think like it can go from, hey, how are you, to, hey, let me see what you look like under those clothes. And it can get scary, and boys will pressure you or will threaten you or just anything to get what they want. And it's sad. And you have to sit there and think, is it worth it? A picture can be kept, and he can say he'll keep it, but it can get leaked. Like, think about it. Is this worth get like having a chance of being leaked? But in peer pressure in general, if you don't feel like you're comfortable with it, if
anything, yeah, you just don't do it, is what your advice is. Yeah.
So the assumption should be that it will be leaked because you're dealing with adolescent boys, and the whole reason why they're asking for those pictures is because they want to be able to share them with their other friends. So just assume that it will be leaked, and understand that pictures last forever. They follow you forever. And so the general practice is just, if you wouldn't want your mother to see it, don't let anybody else see it.
Because, I mean, when you take a picture of yourself and you send it to that person, now they have it over your head. And they can do anything with that picture. And even though it's technically illegal because it's a form of child pornography, but it can still be hung over your head. And like you said, if you don't want if your parents were to know, how would your parents feel? How would your parents react? Don't do it. It's not worth it. Especially if you know it's not right and you feel like it's not right. So what? You'll get called a prude. You'll get called this. You'll get called that. I'd rather be labeled as something I'm not rather than being exposed to the world.
That's really good. And I guess the scary part about this conversation to me is because there is so much pressure, you know, you said that the conversation can go from, hey, what's up, to let me see what's under those clothes. That means that some people are actually doing it. Because it wouldn't be, we have now normalized this behavior. It would not be that popular if people aren't responding. So do you give the advice that you just gave to us? Do you tell your friends that very thing?
Oh, all the time. Okay. I tell them, I'm like, is it worth it? Like, would you want me, like, someone sending me a picture of what you look like under there? Because I wouldn't want to see it. And they're like, oh, like, wow, like, I didn't even really think about it like that. And some boys would go as far as, like, cash apping for pictures. And I'm like, are you serious?
What?
What?
Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, see, a different day, different time. That's why these conversations are important.
Wait a minute. Boys are offering to pay girls to send them pictures of themselves? Mm-hmm. And girls are doing it?
Yeah, but And I think, like, there's so many, and I hate to put that out there, but there's
no,
there's
so we're many, protecting the innocent.
This
right. Right.
It's like, what's up with you wanting to see? Like, they're like, no, I just want to see, like, it's, like, raw. Like, I'm tired of seeing, you know, the other stuff. Like, it's all staged and it's all fake. I want to see what's, like, the real deal. And I'm like, you're kidding me? You're gonna pay me $15 to see a picture of me?
Did you say $15?
$15, and I'm just like, to these girls, I'm like, your worth is that much money?
Wow. It's too different, a different time. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Seriously, I mean, I know this is a tough conversation, but it's so necessary.
Listen, I don't even know what to say behind this. It's like, I'm glad that we're doing this show.
Huh?
I mean, I'm so glad that we're doing this show because these are the things that kids will not feel comfortable telling their parents, but it's happening. And the idea, like, it really makes me two things. It makes me sad in one regard, because we have girls out here who think that their complete privacy is worth $15 or maybe less. But then it also, I mean, we talked about this before, sister, it makes me have these conversations, because if we have our girls, and I say our girls because they're all our responsibility, they don't understand that. They don't understand that $15 it is an insult. Any amount of money for you to sell your dignity, it is an insult. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to have these conversations. And so, Kelsey, that's you.
It can go both ways because, you know, again, you said our girls is so important. And I'm sure our boys are experiencing some similar things. Mm-hmm. I think the conversation definitely has to be had, though, with parents about self-worth, right? So this goes back to the whole conversation that we're having here today. I would be so offended if someone, you know, put that offer out there to me and appalled, and I would look at the camera the way that I looked at, you know, at the camera a minute ago, like, are you kidding me? But that's just real. And so
sometimes it can go back to the parents. I mean, if you, like, sometimes when a parent talks to their child as if they're worthless and they call them this and they call them that, then the child thinks, okay, well, my mom calls me that. I'm already this, so why not be it, you know? Or there's no one telling them, hey, you don't have to expose yourself to some boy just to feel pretty. Or, you know, you don't have to do this and that to feel pretty, because there's probably some girls out there that do it just to feel pretty, just to get called, oh, you're beautiful, oh, you're this. And I don't think that's the way to go. And it is sad that it happens.
It's heartbreaking, actually.
And I mean, who cares? Like, even if you think you look good, like, because I know some people that send pictures just because they think they look good. And I'm just like, are you kidding me?
It's the validation that we talk about all the time. It's validation. Like, I need that constant validation.
If you know you look good, why do you have to prove that to somebody? Right. Why do you have to show that you know? But
That's heartbreaking, though.
It is. And,
you know, we joke a lot, but, you know, one of the
perverted.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I said to Kelsey, I thought I was the prettiest girl in my high school because I didn't know any better, because I didn't go to any other high schools, right? I'm sure that I wasn't, and I'm sure that the person down the street thought she was the prettiest girl in her high school, so it helped with my overall confidence. But this constant world of, you know, staying relevant, and this, you know, everything is a competition, and everything is just, it's overwhelming, and it's heartbreaking at the same time. So we've got to do better. We just have to do better. So,
but we've got to figure out how we can have conversations, like, to your point, sister, with our girls and boys, where we find ways to validate them outside of the ways that we've talked about. So that's a challenge for us and for our listeners. How are you validating the young people in your life? And what are you feeding them through your words and actions? And how are you encouraging and uplifting them so the validation can come from a safe and healthy place?
Yeah.
And they will go out seeking validation from people who can't really even provide it for them anyway.
Yes. That's good.
Yeah.
So while we're on the next question, can I ask you another question real quick?
Sure.
How uncomfortable are you right now talking to us? You know us, you love us, I'm your mother. But I still feel like you're even a little uncomfortable sharing this information. So what is something, and we can even talk about this at the end, but what are some things that, you know, parents can do to really start these conversations? Because I still feel like you're a little uncomfortable sharing. How did you find the courage to really share it with us?
It wasn't necessarily that I was uncomfortable. It was just like, it can be hard to talk about because I know some people personally that do this. So mm-hmm. it's like, I don't want to feel like I'm bashing them and right. I'm, you know, talking about them when the goal is to expose it and just put truth on like what really happens and how it needs more attention.
We haven't said a single name, so it could be anyone. Yeah, so you're not bashing anyone. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, sister. So what's the next topic? I know that we have so many things that we could talk about, but what else are some things that we
think this may have to be a part one and part two, sister, because we're getting so much good information from Kelsey. And we want to make sure we maximize this opportunity to get this information because it's helpful for us, Kelsey. As parents, you know, we don't always show our vulnerabilities to our kids.
Yeah.
And we don't always have conversations where we say, hey, listen, I'm trying to figure this thing out. I'm trying to do the best I can. And so this is helpful for us as parents and to our listeners so we can try to be better parents. We don't always have the answers, but we can work together, you know, as youth and as parents to try to figure out what each of us needs from the other person. Because we want to come out doing the best job of this that we can. So,
because so often as parents,
thank you for just giving us.
So often as parents, we're trying to be the perfect parent, but that's part of the problem because that's the message that we're sending to our children.
Yeah.
You know, be the perfect child, make the best grades, don't do this, don't do that. And that's just not reality, you know?
Yeah.
So,
we had a conversation not too long ago, sister, where I said, you know, if our children never see us cry or never see us struggle with something, the first time it happens to them, and it will, they're going to feel like something's wrong with them because they never saw it in us. Exactly. So to have those conversations where we can say, listen, this is something that's difficult, but this is how I got through it. We're teaching them life skills and not just, you know, kind of putting these rose-colored glasses over their eyes to say that it always goes well.
Right. Exactly.
So that leads us to our next topic, Kelsey. And I know this is a big one. Like I said, my kids are elementary and middle school, but in middle school, this has come up a few times, not with my own daughter, but she said this with some of her friends. And that's the idea of bullying. And what we can do to have conversations with our kids, but also support. Because this too, there's a generational difference, right? Because for us, there was no social media and we didn't have phones and we didn't have cyberbullying because we didn't have that technology. Once you left school and you went home, you know, you had kind of a safe space, but that doesn't exist anymore. So how can we as parents help you all navigate or kids navigate through this space of bullying in a digital age?
If you know your child and you feel like there's something going on, get involved. There's no way to really tell if necessarily your child is just being bullied. Sometimes they won't come to you because they feel like they got it on their own. But mm-hmm. if you feel like every day they come home from school and there's something bothering them, then something is bothering them and someone is probably bothering them. You might have to dig a little deep just to see what's going on. You might have to get a little nosy. You might have to invade a little privacy because bullying can go left real quick. Not everyone has the mental stability when it comes to bullying, and not everyone can grasp that concept of everything will be okay. So I feel like when you can try to intervene.
Can you talk to us a little bit about your experience with bullying? Are you comfortable to speak on that?
It can haunt you. I was bullied up until I'm not getting bullied to this day, but there's always someone saying something about me, and now it's to the point where I don't even care anymore. I've grasped enough confidence where I don't even like. Okay, bye. But I feel like it can get serious, and it's always nice to have someone to stick up for you. I had a friend actually past recently, this last Friday, this little boy was talking about her and made her upset, and it just really made me confused on why someone would say something about her. So sweet, never gave anybody a reason to give her any problems, and here she was crying in the bathroom because of some little boy.
And you said, what did you tell me? You said hurt people,
and I just wanted to be there for her, and I was just like, you know what, people are always gonna say something, and I wouldn't let other people control how you feel about yourself, especially because you don't need validation.
That's big. But for you, Kelsey, I think the fact that you were able to show up for someone else because you understand how it feels, that's big on your part. You know, a lot of people, I think, too, it's a testament to your mom, because it helps having a parent that's supportive and constantly pours into you and is able to tell you that you're beautiful and worthy and all of those things. And so thank you for sharing your experience with bullying. I know with the mental health background that my husband and I, we've talked to a lot of teenagers, and we've seen this increase in anxiety and depression. And mm-hmm. It's happening younger and younger and younger. And even for us as mental health professionals, it wasn't until we started having these one-on-one conversations that we realized how much it has increased, and it's happening younger and younger. So are your friends having conversations around the topics of feeling more anxious or feeling more depressed as it pertains to bullying?
Sometimes it's hard to have those conversations because there's some people that just feel like that they're fine and that they don't want to have this conversation. But then the people that want to sit down and actually talk about what's going on and how this is a problem, we really discuss, like, this is a problem and it does need more attention. And we just try to be there for each other, because there's no better feeling than having someone sticking up for you, especially when you don't feel like you can stick up for yourself.
And one of the things that Kelsey shared with me, she talked to the young man that was bullying the young lady, and Kelsey said that, she said, I get it, you have your own insecurities and you're now trying to project them off onto her. And she said hurt people. But she also shared with me around a couple of people that she's experienced some bullying with. And again, this is now as she's gotten older, we don't see it nearly as much. But she said that, again, it goes back to some of the conversations that the parents are having with the children. They're being very mean to the children, and then the children are coming right into the school, and now they're being mean to the other children. So, again, what we speak over our babies is just so important, because now we take it right into the school, and then I'm thankful that you have a Kelsey that will stand up. But that takes a lot for her to do, just like it takes a lot for her to have this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, Kelsey, the fact that you stood up for your friend, but not only you stood up for your friend, but you were able to speak to the bully with compassion, right? Even in that situation, you told him, listen, I get it. I know why you're doing this. Maybe that'll make him think a little bit more the next time, you know, he says something negative to another person. Hopefully it'll help him self-reflect. But those are the conversations that we have to have with our kids, right? That's a lot of pressure for a team to feel like you have to be in a position to defend your friends. And I think that's why, again, it's important that we have these conversations so we know how to support and back our kids up in this situation.
And, like, I just want to add on, the expression hurt people is so true, because I've seen that same boy get bullied by other people. And I'm not going to sit here and say I just defended him as well, but I can understand. I mean, I'm not justifying his actions, but I can understand why he thought it was okay to, you know, go for her, because he thought she was the easy target, and he was tired of being an easy target. Mm. So he thought, oh, let me find someone that is easier to pick on than me, because I'm tired of being the one being picked on.
And the last thing I'll add, I think that's important to note too, is that bullying for us, you know, we've all experienced some form of bullying. But, you know, we've said before, when I was bullied, it was, you know, during the hours of, you know, 7:15 and 2:15, if I had any really interaction. You guys can get it constantly. It doesn't stop, right? It can go home with you. It's nonstop. So I think that's important as well.
And I feel like sometimes, like when it comes to bullying, we really do need, I know it might be hard, but we really do need to take a break from our cell phones. The when you take a break.
Right, pause. And say it again.
Well, I don't want to say that just to say that, but I really mean it.
It's recorded, Kelsey.
And like, even coming from me, I'm on my phone all the time. But that's because I feel like I need to be stimulated 24/7. I feel like when kids take a break from their phones and do something that is actually productive and that actually matters, their mindset will be totally different. If you go one day without your phone, like, that's like, that's like really hard to do nowadays, because it's like your phone has everything. I feel like take one day away from your phone and think about how much easier you're, you know, like a big
weight. You can breathe.
You can breathe. Like, you ain't got to think about, well, what's she doing today? Or what are people saying about me? No. Like, and it bothers me because it's like, sometimes it's, I'm like, it's not that hard. Like, just take a break. An hour.
You heard it here first.
I'm like, go do something.
Go walk around in the neighborhood. Easily. Yeah, go walk around in the neighborhood.
Go walk around. Go find, you know.
That's good. That's good. Wow. This has been a great conversation, Kelsey. I learned some things, and I live with you and I see you every day. Again, thank you so much. Let me ask you this. Are you willing to keep this conversation going?
Yeah, sure.
Did you have fun?
Yeah.
Okay. Just like, yes, I've been extremely uncomfortable, but so much good, you know, so much good information. Thank you so much. So, Kelsey, what we do is we take this conversation and we love to leave our listeners with some tips so that maybe that they can use. So, sister, do you want to give them tip one?
Sure. So, tip number one, start conversations with your team and be prepared to accept what you hear.
Yes. Tip number two, and Kelsey said it, take a phone break. Give yourself 24 hours and find ways to engage with your child outside of technology.
And tip number three, find ways every day to validate the young people in your life.
And tip number four, be willing to recognize that times are different, so we must be flexible on how we approach having these critical conversations with our young people. Thank you for joining us. Now, please join us for part two of Just Be Real, Little Sis.
Don't forget to subscribe and share so we can grow this movement. If you have show ideas or would like to be considered as a special guest, you can email us at justberealsis@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at justberealsispodcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. As always, remember to serve first, stay encouraged, be kind, and just be real, sis.